Tonight I want to begin a little bit a different approach to this matter of personal surrender, and we're going to read the scriptures here in just a few moments, but I want to ask you a few questions by way of introduction tonight. It really starts off with a simple question: what do you want? You say, well, preacher, put a little more definition to that. No, just ask yourself. No one can answer that for you. What is it that you want most in your life? What do you want? I find that the majority of people in this world do exactly what they want. We say we want God's will. We say we want to please God. We say a lot of things. How many times have you heard that? Oh, preacher, we want to. But then all of a sudden they're down the road. Oh, preacher, by the way, we forgot to tell you. You don't want my advice. You might say that, but you want what you want. Everybody with me tonight? So I ask you, what do you want? Do you want what he wants? Or do you want what you want? You see, tonight I can't change your wants. I cannot somehow force you to want what he wants. But he can, if you will. God does many things against our will. But he never forces us against our will. There are leadings and times where it goes against me and I say, no, God, I don't want to. But the choice is ultimately mine. He doesn't force any of us. And so there are many tonight, I have no doubt, that would say, yeah, preacher, we want what God wants. We want to support missions. We want to go. We want to give. We want to be involved in missions. Yes, and I have full confidence and assurance that you do, but there's going to have to be something deeper than that. There's going to come a time when you will be confronted with a decision to make whether you are willing to do what he wants or you do what you want. I have people in our church that have came and some have asked for counsel and wisdom about jobs, and some have not. They've said, Pastor, what do you think we ought to do? Well, let's pray about it. We'll figure some things out. Let's just wait on the Lord. And then others, they just go right on. Well, they pretend they come, and I'm thankful that they're there, and I want you to understand my heart tonight. But my pastor told me, years ago, growing up, I used to hear him say, people do what they want to do. You're looking at a world around you in Topeka, Kansas tonight. People are all over the place doing whatever they want to do. And you're here on a Friday night in church. I have to believe that you wanted to be here. Absolutely. Amen. That's a good start, by the way. It's been wonderful. It's been sweet. So I want you to think on that tonight, because you're going to come to a conclusion and there'll be a test at some point, but you'll be tested with that decision. But tonight at the close of the message, I hope that you'll be willing to say, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. And allow God the opportunity to have full control. That's complete surrender. And so I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and we've already heard great challenges from Romans chapter 12. So we're going to divide that and go to Romans 6 tonight, if you're able to stand. And an unusual passage of Scripture for personal surrender tonight. So I'd ask that you just follow along with me. We'll try to go through this text and see if the Lord will help us tonight. Amen. And I need the Lord to help me and for him to increase my faith and help me in this. And so I would ask that you would pray that the Lord uses this in my own life as well for all of us tonight. Romans chapter 6, and let's begin reading in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Would you bow your heads with me this evening once again for a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again tonight, Lord, desperate and needy for you. Lord, we need your presence and we need your power. God, we need you to speak your truth to us tonight. And I need you as much as anyone does. Lord, I desire to be what you want me to be. I desire, Lord, to want what you want. Lord, help me in that tonight, that I would surrender my all to you once again. As, Lord, they sang that song, and Lord, I bowed here at the altar with my family to say, yes, Lord, I am willing. Once again, God, help us as a people, as a church, as a body tonight, Lord, to yield over, Lord, the surrender of our lives, the control of our lives completely and wholly to you. And to nothing else, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Personal surrender is all about yielding over what already belongs to God. We heard it through a few of the testimonies tonight. We heard Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And we can go to 1 Corinthians, and we can go to 2 Corinthians. We understand that we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to the Lord Jesus. We are, first of all, created by God. We're His once, but we've been redeemed. Amen. We've been bought twice. We've been redeemed, purchased back to Himself. And so we really do not have any rights, do we? We certainly have no rights of our own. No entitlements do we have in this flesh. Yet we would be told differently in our society today. We're taught from a very early age to do our own thing, to go our own way, to build a name for ourselves. And I find that that has filtered over and become a main part of Christianity today in America. Churches are filled with good people. I grew up in Arkansas in a small town of about 800 people. Everybody knew everybody. And people were good people. And there's going to be a lot of good people that die and go to hell, by the way. Because being good will not get you there. But there were many good people in the church that began to have this same philosophy. And I believe it starts with a good intention, a good idea, because what parent doesn't want their child to have life and things better than they had it? many farmers that grew up, and I grew up in the where the Delta met the foothills of the Ozarks, and so we had a lot of farmers, and then those that were up in the Ozarks did a lot of cattle farming, and then those that were in the Delta region raised a lot of cotton, and those old-timers that picked the cotton and knew what it was to sweat all summer long and have their fingers bleed by picking the cotton. I didn't grow up in the cotton fields. I didn't know much about it, but my pastor did. I heard a lot of those stories. And he even would say, we'd not trade it, but we'd rather our children have it better than we did. Well, we understand that. We'd like for our kids to have things better than we did, yet sometimes we have traded off something that we don't really we don't really know what we've done. And I believe this with all my heart. In wanting better, we have sold them a lie by the devil to go out and to get education, which there's nothing wrong with education, but if the whole intent of getting education is so that you can have a better life. Because if you have a better education, then you can get a better job. And if you have a better job, then you make more money. And if you make more money, you can live better. And it's nothing more than humanism, as is declared by Paris Reedhead, that was in the pamphlet you gave us. And a tremendous message that I've listened to numerous times, and how absolutely true that is. Humanism has been brought in. The message isn't on humanism, by the way. I'm getting off track on that, all right? Because I see it in the churches so often that it comes in, and that's how it comes in. Well, why are you dealing with this? Because it has bred in our children and in us a desire for something other than God. We can build a name for ourselves. We can build a kingdom, if you will. We can have whatever we want. How many times have you, man, if you give it your all, you can do whatever you want to do. And coaches tell you that. Everyone wants to tell you that. You set your mind to it. You work hard enough. You can do it. Well, what do we mean by that? Are we setting them up for failure? No, we're setting them up to be away from God, to be independent from God. We can accomplish life on our own, and we don't need God. And we've done that within the realm of the church. I personally have witnessed it. I remember I surrendered my life to God in about the seventh grade, 13 years of age, at a youth rally. And I remember the Lord dealing with my heart. Never wanted to go away from the Lord. Always wanted to serve God. Didn't know what He had in mind. But I just loved church, loved the Lord, loved being a part of it. I mean, just, I enjoyed it. I remember hearing the preaching. I don't know what the message was about. I don't remember that. I just remember going to the front, and I got on the altar, and I prayed and said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. And that was it. Didn't think anything else. Life didn't change. Still played basketball, still went to school, still did the routine. And as the years went by, God began to work in my heart more and more. And then all of a sudden, people started asking me the question whenever I became a senior, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? I don't know. I don't know what the Lord has. But I remember very few people saying, what do you think the Lord has for you? What do you think the Lord wants for your life? No, that wasn't a question. Everybody okay? This is where I grew up. This is what I was brought into. Everyone wanted to know, what are you going to do? What kind of a name are you going to make for yourself? Are you going to go out and make us proud? Yeah, the hometown boy, yeah. All I knew is wait on God and follow God. I don't have really a good plan. I just want to obey God. And so tonight, I believe with all my heart that complete and total surrender is going to be tested. And you're going to come to a place where you're going to have to say, Lord, not what I want, not even what You want for your own children. Say, Lord, You've entrusted us, God's entrusted us, my wife and I, with four precious, wonderful gifts. and they belong to Him. And my job as a father is to lead them to God, to present them back to Him so that God could use them and to do what He wants with them, not what I want. And that won't happen unless I, as their father, say, what do you want for me? Lord, I've got to be what you want me to be. And listen, this is the, to me, this is the pinnacle of personal surrender here in Romans chapter 6, because a personal surrender is all about yielding over what already belongs to God. And the truth of the matter is that we won't give to missions, and we won't go out soul winning, and we won't do the things that God wants us to do until we first surrender to Him completely. Well, I'll do this over here, but not over here. We like to put terms on what we do for God. Oh, God, I'll work in this ministry, but don't let me do that. I couldn't do that. We've heard some of that already, haven't we? And how that we kind of limit God, and we'd say, God, I would love to do this ministry, but boy, I could never do that one. Listen, if you will get with God and say, God, I'm going to give my life to you, you do whatever you want. And so tonight I want us to just think about that thought there. What is it that God, what is it that God wants? What do you want? What does God want? And I want you to know tonight that He can reveal to you what He wants, and I believe that He will show you exactly what He desires for you. But understand, He wants you. He wants all of you. And so I want you to see just real quick three thoughts here, three truths out of Romans chapter 6, that this is real basic and real simple, yet it has been something that has been mightily used of God in my life. And it's something that I have to continually come back to over and over and over again. And one of the sisters said it up here earlier, daily. It's daily. And so how then can we come to personal surrender? How is it that we fully surrender and understand everything? All right, I'm going to give you real three quick thoughts, and then we'll kind of expound for a few moments. Everybody still doing okay? All right, I know it's Friday night. You've been here late the last two nights. The last thing I want to do is lose you on Friday night, all right? But if you're with me and you're ready to dive into this, let's jump in and get what the Lord has and then be willing to let God do whatever He wants at the close, all right? Can we do that tonight? All right. Three quick thoughts. Let me give them to you and then we'll run through this, all right? First of all, you see in Romans 6, knowing this. Verse 11, reckon. Verse 13, yield. There's three words there, knowing, reckoning, yielding. This is the victory in personal surrender. All right, ready? Here we go. Let's run through these. First of all, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that what? Our old man is crucified with Him. Here's the very pivotal foundational truth tonight. Before we ever understand and can go and be what God wants us to be, I first have to come to the knowledge and to the understanding of this very thought. I am crucified with Christ. This body of sin, this old nature, this old flesh has already been crucified with Christ. Amen. I've got to have that knowledge and that understanding of this to better understand how to surrender myself to God. Listen, I've already been crucified. And so we need to come to that knowledge. He said, knowing this, to have that knowledge is personal. It is very personal. You see, a lot of times we are, and Paul, how many times did he write to the churches? I would not have you to be what? Ignorant, brethren. He used it over and over. He said it wasn't a belittling term, meaning that they were unintelligent. He said there was just a lack of knowledge. And I don't want you to have a lack of knowledge. I want you to personally know and to have the knowledge so that you can live according to the will of God. so that you can live fully the life that God's called you to live. And God has given every single one of us a life to live for Him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise God. Every single one of you say, well, I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be an evangelist. No, you're called to be a Christian. You're called to be like Christ. You're called to live for God. And God has a plan. And God has a will for your life tonight. You've got to know this. You have to come to a personal knowledge of this, that yes, God wants to use my life. Yes, God can use my life. And yes, this flesh that hinders me has already been crucified. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm good at serving sin. But I shouldn't be. I'm really good at giving in to temptation at times. I'm really good at going my own way and doing my own thing. But I've got to come back to this point and understand. I do believe and reckon and understand. I know then, personally, that my old man has already been crucified. So, with that, there is power to be able to live for the Lord. To be able to surrender tonight and to be able to say, Lord, I can live for You. Many times people think it's impossible to live for God. I couldn't do that. There's no way. I mean, I'm nobody. I'm just me. Good. That's exactly who God's looking for. That's exactly what God's interested in. He's interested in you. He's interested in His people. Right here tonight, every single one that's here, He's interested in us. What a joy. Do you know that tonight? Do you have that personal knowledge that God is interested in you and that He's delivered you from the body of sin, that you don't have to serve it anymore? Do you know that? There's freedom in Christ. By the way, while I'm on that topic, it's good. Paul outlined it for us in Galatians. We're free from sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the past of sin. Praise God. The past, it's in the past. You know, think about this thought. It's just real quick. I wonder if the devil knows more about you than God does. Now just think with me. Say, why would that be? Well, because when you come to God and you confess your sins, guess what? He does what? He forgives and does what? Yeah. And He remembers them no more. He forgets them, right? But Satan doesn't. He brings them up to God every day. Hey, you know, God, you know, Pastor Langston down there did. You know what he said? He nope, I don't remember. Amen. Do you understand this? Hey, listen, I've been freed from all of that. I've been freed from the past of sin. I've been freed from the penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell, praise God. I don't have to suffer eternal judgment in the lake of fire. I've been freed. And knowing that gives me the power to live a victorious life in Christ. Guess what? Now, because I'm free from the penalty of sin, I'm free from the power of sin. It no longer has a grip on me. Christ broke the chains and set me free. Now I'm free to say, Lord, here's my life. I know I'm not much, but whatever You have for me, I'd gladly do that. And God may not call everyone to go to a mission field, but He is, and He may just deal with you right here at this church and say, I want you to stay right here. And I'm calling you to serve right here. I'm calling you to go out into the highways and hedges round about your city. I'm calling you right here. And some of you, He may say, I want you to go. I want you to go somewhere for me. Knowing this gives us a better understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. And really, that is the whole pinnacle of this matter of personal surrender, is being able to give back to God what's already His. I'm in Christ. And that's a wonderful place to be. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. He is what? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. How many things are become new? Whew. Boy, we need to get back to looking at just Bible words. All things are become new. Hallelujah for that. Praise God that we are in Christ Jesus. And because we're in Him, and I have a personal knowledge of this, I can surrender everything to Him and not, I don't have to worry about anything. God wants to take me somewhere and use me. Man, you know what? That's wonderful. What do you want tonight? You want what God wants? Now, secondly, let's look at the word reckoning. Read on down with me. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus died once for sin. Amen. And then up from the grave he arose. And praise the Lord that he only had to die once. Boy, those priests, they offered those sacrifices annually, and they offered sacrifices continually, but they never satisfied. And our God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of glory, the sacrifice of the world, he offered up himself once for the sins of the world, and God said, that'll do. That'll suffice. Boy, I'm glad for that tonight. And so he dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. He conquered death and he holds the keys of death and hell. Now, notice this. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. All right, here's truth number two. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's two real thoughts, real simple thoughts here tonight. First of all, we know, we've got a knowledge of the fact that I've been crucified with Christ. All right? That's a personal knowledge that I've come to, my understanding of where I am. Knowledge is personal there. Reckoning is positional. That positional truth that we're talking about in Christ Jesus, everything that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, receives by divine right, I get by divine grace. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. That's what being in Christ means. That's positional. Hey, guess what? The day that I got saved, I'm justified. In God's eyes, I'm seen righteous, not because of my own works, not because of my good deeds, not because of my personality, not because of anything that I've done, not by works of righteousness which I've done, but according to His mercy, He saved me. And in Christ Jesus, now guess what? When God looks down, He sees Jesus. That's positional. We're going to get to the practical in just a moment, all right? But for a moment, let's consider the word reckon. The word reckon means to compute or to calculate. For instance, it's an accounting term of maybe balancing the ledger in a checkbook. We don't know anything about that anymore today, but hey, you know, check your account online and make sure everything's accurate. All right, there we go. Make sure things are accurate. Make sure things are in place. So here's what takes place. I can surrender one day, and then the next day, I don't feel very saved. Anybody ever been that way? And care to admit that? Some days we just have bad days, don't we? Some days you get bad news. Some days you just don't feel very good, and so you kind of have a pity party for yourself. Man, boy, today just everything's gone bad. I don't know what I've done. I begin to start looking at my circumstances. I begin to think about everything about me. Man, I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray. Man, today's terrible. Well, I bet God didn't even love me today. And the devil will jump on the bandwagon. You better believe it. Yeah, and you probably aren't even saved today. I don't even feel saved. I don't even feel sanctified. I don't feel anything. Man, sin has come in, or Satan has attacked, and whatever the case may be, all right? At that point, I go back to my position and my knowledge. Hey, I know this. This is not up to me. Amen. This has already happened. It's there. Okay, so how do I get victory in it? I reckon. I compute it. I calculate it, all right? So I get out and I go, Yep, dead. Yep, I'm dead. Yep. Let me figure it up again. Yep, still dead. My old man, right? The old nature, the old sin nature has been crucified with Christ. It's not going anywhere. It's dead. Okay. Romans chapter 7, Paul deals with this flesh that we battle with. But hang on. Here's the victory in personal surrender. Is that I reckon not only that I'm dead to sin, dead to self, by the way, dead to Satan, dead. We'll just keep on going there, all right? But I'm dead, and I have to compute that. I have to come to the point where I know this, and then I have to reckon it in my mind. I compute that, I calculate that, and say, yeah, well, I'm feeling all this, but you know what? I'm dead. Why am I feeling this? I'm already dead, but not only am I dead, but let me think here. Let's see. Yep, I'm alive. I'm alive unto God. All right, so here's the great positional truth. A lot of times that we like to think of, and listen, we ought to imagine ourselves that whenever you see the cross up there and you imagine Jesus hanging on that cross, you need to see you hanging on that cross with him. And not only that, but whenever they took his body down and wrapped him in burial clothes and rolled that tomb away and placed his body in there, guess what? You were in that tomb, lying in there, buried with Christ. Right? But if we had to stop there, boy, it would be a gloomy day, wouldn't it? But Paul said, likewise, you reckon yourself dead. You've already died. You've already been buried. But oh, on that third day, you see that stone rolled away and Jesus Christ walking out victorious and alive. Guess what I see? I see me walking out of that tomb. You ought to see you too. We're alive. Let's see. I'm dead and I'm alive. Boy, I didn't know I was so bipolar, man. Just joking. I know that's a real thing with some people. I have a split personality. You know what? It's wonderful. But I'm dead and I'm alive. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to this world, but I'm alive unto God. You get the point tonight? That's already taken place. It's done. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? You're crucified. You are already positionally crucified with Christ. The old man was crucified, buried, and resurrected already with Christ. It's already done. Now, in order for us to understand and to surrender over and over again, we've got to come to that point every day where I say, yep, I reckon that I'm dead and I'm alive unto God. Now, the third thought, and we'll wrap this up. This is the practical. This is where it gets difficult because this is where the flesh wants to take over. Verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So here's what God says. First of all, you've got to know that you're already a position, you've already been crucified and buried and resurrected. Now, secondly, you need to compute that and calculate that every single day, whether you feel saved, whether you feel good, whether you feel like serving me, whether you feel like surrendering or not, just go ahead and say, I am dead and I'm alive. I'm dead to sin and I'm alive unto God. Therefore, I'm going to glorify God in my body. Okay, so when my flesh doesn't feel good and I'm tempted to sin and there's problems coming up, guess what I've got to do? I've got to reckon that and then I must yield, which means to give control or give place to give over. In other words, I could hold on to this. I'm not letting this go. It might be something precious in my life that would represent something that would be very valuable, and you're holding on to it. And God, I understand, but I just can't give this. But yielding is coming to the end of yourself and saying, you know what? This isn't as important as I thought it was. I'm gonna yield that. It's now out of my control. I've yielded it to someone else. And that's where the practical daily living and the victory of personal surrender takes place every single day. First comes with knowledge, knowing. Man, that's a wonderful thought. It's wonderful. Every time I come to that understanding, I'm thankful for who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that he died on the cross. I'm thankful for his great and glorious gift, aren't you? That ought to excite us and thrill our hearts every single time that we remember that and we think, wow, I am saved. Now, times when I fight the flesh and the feelings, I've got to reckon. I've got to calculate that. And guess what? I go to God. Yep, I'm still alive unto God. I'm still resurrected to God. I'm still living for God. Okay, now, boy, I got some tough decisions to make, and man, problems and things coming in. What am I supposed to do? What is it that God wants? And right now, here's the matter of missions and God using this church tonight to either give or to go and pray and love and become all that God wants you to be. By the way, Christianity is about being. These positional truths that we're talking about, there's a lot of people that have it backwards and out of order, and I probably did for a long time too. It was all about doing more, working harder, praying more. Boy, I got to work harder. By the way, when I come to understand that I'm positionally in Christ Jesus, it freed me up. And by the way, just while I'm here, let's go back to what I was going to say about Galatians. It's not only good to be free from sin, it's good to be free from religion. Religion is bondage. Man, we've been freed through Christ Jesus. There's liberty. People, we have it so backwards. We have it so backwards. But if I surrender my life, I think it was Brother Quinlan said it maybe last night, or maybe it's been tonight. I've heard so much, it's been good. Maybe it was tonight. But I used to say the same thing. Teenagers, I used to preach to teenagers, and all the teenagers had this great fear. If I gave my life to God, God somehow was going to bind me up, put me on a plane and ship me over there to Africa somewhere and live in the safari, and I would never see anybody and I'd have a horrible life. What you don't understand is that when you give your life to God, what you thought was so bad becomes the best thing you ever imagined. Why do we fear so much? Why are we afraid to surrender all? Because we don't want to give up what we want. So I ask you, what do you want tonight? You want what God wants? Because he has some wants for you. He has something that he wants for you. He's already saved you. You're already positionally seated in the heavenlies. You're already in Christ Jesus. Now, would you yield to him tonight? Say, but preacher, I've already done that good. You'll have to do it again and again and again and again. And most of the time, it's pretty much decision by decision. Because there's decisions that we face every day. And, well, I'd sure like to do this, Lord. And then I get that inner convicting of the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, but I want you to do this. Oh, really? But if I yield over, okay, Lord, I told you I'm going to yield over the control to you. And I get into that, guess what? Man, there's joy. Man, there's power. And it's wonderful. So I want to challenge you tonight. Don't be afraid to step out. Step out by faith. Follow God. Surrender all. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made. And think about your position tonight. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're crucified with Christ? Then reckon yourself daily to be dead unto sin and alive unto God, and yield over your life at every moment. By the way, that's what God asks of me. Every day. And that probably is why we had to start the way we did tonight. I had to come down here and say, Lord, I'm willing to do exactly what I'm preaching about. As if I'm not, I'm not going to help you at all. By the way, I'm not going to help you. The Lord's going to help you. You understand that. He has to help you. So I ask you tonight, what is it that you want? Are you willing to yield over what you want for what He wants? It's a great trade. Don't miss it.